们刚刚已经读过了今天我们要分享的经文啊，就是应该是大家熟悉的这个叫做葡萄园工人的比喻。
Yeah, we have just read the Bible verses that I believe most of you will be very familiar. It's about the story occurred in the vineyard.
我想大部分人应该同意这是一个蛮有意思的比喻。
I guess that most of you would agree that this is a very interesting parable.
那么在整个四福音书里面它只出现在马太福音里面。
But this story only occurred in the Gospel of Matthew.
如果你有参加过马太福音的查经，而且有查过这一段经文的话，
If you have studied this passage when you were studying the book of Matthew,
这个经文呢，应该是可以引起一些讨论的。
This is a passage that deserves a lot of discussion.
而且还会变成辩论，最后会变成争论。
It could lead to some argument, even to the debate or even fight.
那如果大家都不说话的话，
If people keep silent,
那大概就是太累了，只想吃完茶点回家。
That's probably about you have this motive to go back home after eating some refreshment.
我发现不管是基督徒还是非基督徒啊，
I have discovered that no matter who you are, Christians or non-Christians,
很少有第一次认真的读了这个比喻以后呢，完全不觉得奇怪的。
It's hard to believe that someone read this passage and do not have any wonder about it.
而事实上我见过初次读这个比喻的人啊。
Actually, I ran into someone who first read this passage.
他不仅会感到困惑，而且甚至于有人会愤愤不平啊。
They're not only puzzled, but even they feel pretty upset about the story.
我们中间可能就会有人尝试去解释啊这个比喻。
So people among us probably will put some effort in trying to explain.
但是呢我们会发现呢有几个麻烦的问题。
Then even you want to do so, you still have a few difficulty points.
一般的读者会有一个自然的倾向，多少呢同情那个第一批工作的工人。
For the generic reader, it seemed to be a trend that for them to be sympathetic to the first group of workers.
可是经文好像又在告诉我们呢，这些人不应该被同情。
But then the scripture seemed to suggest to us they are not deserve your sympathy.
我们自己第一次读这个比喻的时候呢，也可能同情过那第一批工作的人。
Think about how one first time you read this passage, if you were kind of feeling sympathetic to the first.
然后我们的观念呢，逐渐被扭转了。
Then you change your mind after you read again.
那如果我们现在想要帮助其他的人扭转观念啊
，Now if we really want to turn other people's mind around,
然后把所谓的一些错误的同情要去掉啊。
And then get rid of your incorrect sympathy.
那么要想人能够心服口服也并不容易。
If you want to really fully convince others, it's not easy job.
因为这个主人呢，于情于理呢是无可指责的。
Because for the landowners, you don't find many reasons to blame him.
你看他对最后的后面的这些工人真的是很仁厚大方啊。
He's really kind to those later workers.
但是你相对之下呢，他对待那个第一批辛苦工作的人好像有点不厚道吧。
But it looks like that he was unkind to the first group. The
你不能说他做错了，但是这种做法是不是有点不厚道？
It's hard to say that he did it wrong, but at least you can say he's not kind to the others.
但是葡萄园是比喻天国，对吧？
But now we all know vineyard is signify the kingdom of heaven.
那原主人是比喻谁啊？
Then do you know who is the land owner of the vineyard?
那当然就是神吧。
Of course, it's our God.
那我们可以说神不厚道吗？
Can we then say our God is unkind?
所以这显然是一个问题。
So this become a dilemma.
我们只能这样说。
So we have to kind of say something like this.
这个原主人那样对待一早就开始工作的那些工人是有道理的。
So we say it makes sense that for the landowner to treat the first group workers that way.
我们也许说不清楚那个道理。
But maybe we're not clear on the reasoning behind.
但是我们至少可以提醒自己呢，不要成为那些劳苦多做又不讨好的人，对吧？
But we can be reminded that we won't be like those who work whole lot, very hard, but did not get a lot of rewards.
那么不成为那些劳苦又不讨好的人是什么意思呢？
But what does it mean you work a lot but not necessarily get too much on return?
就是说你并没有，不是说你不要多做，而是说你不应该多想，不该抱怨，对吧？
It doesn't mean you shouldn't do more. It just means you should not be complaining a lot after you have done a lot.
但是这样子的话呢，不仅是身体劳苦，心里的负担也不轻，对吧？
So you think about it's not only physical labor that burning your heart. It's really about the psychological side.
那最后的所得都一样。那你还要保持很努力的保持心理平衡。
So it's really like you get the same reward, but you have to have this psychological job to keep your heart peaceful.
你如果憋不住埋怨两句，还会被指责什么红了眼之类的啊。
So if you can't control yourself well, you start to grumble a little bit, then you will be scolded for being envious to others.
所以不要成为那些劳苦多做又不讨好的工人。
So you kind of think, oh, it shouldn't be.Those workers who work a lot but not necessarily rewarded equally.
那最简单的办法就是什么？晚一点开始嘛。
So the best way to do that is just start late.
你少辛苦一点嘛。
So you're not going to do a whole lot.
哎，让那些自愿辛苦多做的人来嫉妒我，不是很好吗？
Let those who run first work very hard to be envious to me.
而且啊，他们嫉妒我还不敢说了。
And then if even when they are angry about me, they dare to say it out.
但是这样一来，是不是说这个比喻是在告诉我们，跟随服侍主呢，是越晚开始越划算呢？
But does this mean the moral of the story is about the later, the more advantageous you would be?
这显然不符合圣经一贯的教导。
Of course, this is against.The typical teaching from the against the biblical teaching.
但是好像还挺合逻辑的一个推论嘛。
But it's a logic, right?
其实划算呢，也会不知不觉的被看成是神的一种恩典呢。
So being advantageous might be viewed as a grace from God.
曾经参加过一个华人宣教大会。
I attended our Chinese missionary conference.
那么一个。很有名望的华人传道人
There's a very famous speaker.
他在讲这个宣教的时候呢，就用了这段经文。
He was talking about the topic of missionary, then he cited a verse from the scripture.
他说这个耶稣这个比喻呢，其实是在预表后来的这个基督教的这个宣教的发展。
Oh, they said actually the parable told by Jesus here is really to symbolize the development of missionary.
清早开始做工的就是那个最早派宣教士出来的德国教会。
So the early morning worker really are the representation of those people in earlier German church.
然后到了九点的时候呢，就有其他的像什么荷兰呐、比利时这些国家也开始派宣教士出来了。
And the worker at the third hours worker are more like those people from Holland and Belgium.
那么还有什么英国？那就是中午了。
Then come after will be people from British Church. It's kind of like the noon time.
下午三点是美国。
And then the nine-hour worker really represents people from American Church.
那么现在呢是有时下午五点了。
Now, it's 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Who would that symbolize?
那么既然是华人宣教大会，除了华人还有谁嘛？
So because it's a Chinese missionary conference, so that really means Chinese.
那么这个讲员就开始呼召。
Then he start to make his calling.
神是这样恩待我们华人。
He say, "Our Lord is so gracious to our Chinese."
只要我们做一小时。所得的是一样的。
The only one hour labor left for us, but we'll get the same reward.
怎么能不抓住这个机会啊？
Why not grab the opportunity?
所以你看，这是一个很有属灵效果的一个激励呢。以其实背后的观念是什么？划算嘛。
So this seems to be a very spiritual calling based upon the logic being advantageous.
那么。现在让我们从经文来思想这个比喻啊。
But now let's come back to the scripture and really think deeply
我们应该先注意到这个比喻有几个比较奇怪的地方。
Well, let's look into certain pieces that seem to be odd to you first.
这个比喻中工人所表现的这些行为啊，他们的反应其实是很正常的啊。
Well, you can tell that the behaviors of those workers seem to be normal.
如果是我们的话，也会有类似的这种反应。
If you put yourself in their shoes, you probably would respond similarly.
所以我们也不需要去指责他们啊，也不必会了，好像觉得指责他们的话，表现我们很属灵啊。
So you're not going to be in a position of blaming them. That's not going to be spiritual.
比较奇怪的是你这个葡萄园主人的一些做法。
But interesting part is the behavior of the landowner.
他清早和第一批工人讲定工价是当天合理的一天一钱银子。
Yeah, the one he chose the first group of worker in the morning, he actually set agreement that they would get the denarii after one day labor.
但是后来呢，却不先讲定工价。
But afterwards, he's not going to about the pay when he was hiring the workers.
他只有是承诺，所当给的必给你们。
He's kind of promised to them that you will get the pay for whatever is right for you.
所以在他的园子里有两种工人在做工。
So there are two kinds of workers working in his vineyard.
一种是知道自己的工价。
For one group, they know exactly the pay they're going to get.
另一种是不知道自己会得多少。
For the other group, they're not clear about eventually how much they will get.
这一点呢倒不是很奇怪。
Well, you may say this is not so odd.
比较奇怪的是主人后来的做法。
Then what is getting even more strange is what the landowner did at the last.
他给所有的工人都是同样的工价，一钱银子。
He has given one denarium to all workers.
而且呢，还在最后只剩下一小时去雇人，有这个必要吗？
And then think about it. Even he made his hiring at the last hour. Is that necessary?
碰到有这种情况的话呢，就有人要尝试去解释。
So when you come across such circumstances, that motivated you to explain it.
但是我们在解释圣经的时候要很谨慎。
But I just want to remind you that we need to be careful as we come to interpret.
因为有些时候呢，会以为找到了一些资料，很符合解释这个事情，却不是很逻辑的。
Particularly when you have some Bible study material, you thought those are very helpful for you to make some logical reasoning.
有一个说法。
There's a one proposal.
那么在巴勒斯坦地区收葡萄呢，要赶在地中海的一种热季风啊，叫 Scirocco 这个热季风吹来之前。
So it talks about that in the mid the Mediterranean area before you rip the grapes, you have to really do it before this
Scirocco.
Scirocco. It's,
yeah. It's like you have to beat the Scirocco.
Type of a hurricane.
那么否则这个葡萄就会损失了。
Then you will have a really lot loss on the fruits.
哎，听起来好像还有点道理。
It sounds very sensible.
但是你仔细想想看。
But if you take a deep consideration of it,
这一个工人在一小时之内能抢收多少葡萄啊？
For 1 hour labor, you know how much workers could do.
这个抢下来的葡萄的价值能够超过一千银子吗？
Do you think that the worth of the grapes that those workers gather is worth a denarium?
Yeah, 因为这个原主人本来就决定要给这只做一小时的人一钱嘛。
Because you have to standing in the landowner's shoes that they have to pay one denarium after 1 hour labor.
如果真的有这个必要的话。
If it's indeed necessary,
那怎么还会有工人闲站着，没有别的葡萄园的工的主人去抢人呢？
Now think about so many workers standing on the roadside doing nothing.
所以这个解释并不合适。
So this interpretation does not seem to be logic.
我们只能说这位原主人呢，他不是以生意的头脑在雇人。
So we just have to say that the landowner is not applying a businessman thinking for hiring the last workers.
他这个主人后来雇人的方式是在显示呢，他的心意是要给人工作的。
Actually, what his mindset seemed to be revealed later is he's trying to give opportunities to many workers.
他并不计较工人开始工作的时间。
He does not really put a lot of consideration on the length of labor.
他只要工人啊进了园子以后认真的工作呢，就愿意付他们一天的工资。
He's willing to pay a one-day labor worth a salary as soon as they're willing to work for him.
所以他后来边说的这个所当给的我必给你们呢，并不是只说要按照工作的时间来调整工资。
So think about his promise about you will get whatever is right for you has nothing to do with the hours of labor.
而是指工作的态度。
It's really about the attitude of work.
那为什么他又要跟第一批工人讲定工价呢？
But why then he set agreement about the pay with the first group of workers?
因为那一批工人呢，要讲定工价才做工。
Because those workers were only motivated to work, under the condition of knowing the pay.
那我们这么说有什么凭据呢？
So what will be the basis for our interpretation?
可以从两方面来看。
We can take two aspects.
从经文来讲的话。
From the scripture.
讲定这个词。它的希腊文是同意的意思。
So, just set a bid or have agreement really means, in Greek, means agree to.
哦，那问题是谁提议，谁同意呢？
But the point is who propose and then who agree to.
那么我们发现呢，在希腊文可以看出来啊，中文跟英文都看不出来的事情。
But if you look at the Chinese and English translation, you will not know for sure, but you have to look.Greek.
因为中文的动词本来就已经不会显示出单数复数的问题。
Because for Chinese, the verb is not going to tell you the singular or plural.
但是即使是英文的话呢，你在某种情况下可以看得出来。
But for English language, only in certain contexts, you can tell the plural.
那偏偏这个词呢，这个动词呢，是过去完成式的话呢，你英文也看不出来了。
But if it's in a specific, perfect tense,You would not recognize it either.
Yeah, 因为如果是现在完成式的话，它单数用 has, 对吧 ？has, 复数用 haf, have, 对吧？
Yeah.
那么 have,
yeah,
但是
like, yeah,
一旦是过去就变成 had 了，
like,
都一样。
So yeah, he's explained. It's a has different has, have, and had.
Yeah, good. yeah, 但是希腊文可以分出来。
But in Greek, you can tell it clearly.
它的主持是一个第三人称单数
，because it's the third person, starting from the noun, then the verb, then the object.
所以是这一位主人同意了这一批工人提的价钱。
So it really means this landowner agrees to pay the price for all of the workers.
但是即使不要去管希腊文的话呢，从常理也可以判断出来。
So if you don't care too much on the Greek meaning.You kind of make a reasoning you would agree with this interpretation.
因为他如果本来就愿意付那些做不满一天的人一钱银子的话，他干嘛还要花时间去跟这些能做满一天的工人讲定同样的工价呢？
So if he can depend upon those one-hour labor worker, why he has to set agreement with those start earlier in the morning?
所以他本来就没有要先讲定工价的意思，那也不是他雇人做工的方式。
So it's really he does not have this original intent to try to set agreement with the workers. That's not his way of handling stuff.
但是他雇人的方法呢，在第一批工人的身上是不适用的。
But his way of hiring is not going to work to the first group of workers.
你看，如果我们从这个劳力市场的运作啊，你就可以明白。
If you take the perspective of labor market,
特别是在那些需求工人高的季节的话呢，工人是清早就到一个地方，在市场等着被雇用。
Particularly in the season where you need, there's a high demand on the labor. A lot of people are waiting in the marketplace.
那么需要工人的雇主呢，也会赶在清早就到了。
The employer will go in the very early morning if they need a lot of workers.
工人清早到当然是希望能够赶快被雇用，他一天的生活就有着落了。
And the worker arrive earlier with this hope they will be hired earlier so they can get the pay to cover a day expenses.
那么雇主能够当然早上是希望能够挑到好的工人，那些年轻力壮的，而且看起来可能工作上也比较有经验的。
the owner arrived earlier for the purpose of choosing better workers who are experienced and who are very strong.
因为一整天的工资是一样的。
Because you're paying the same pay salary for the one day labor.
你当然希望能够得到最好的。
Of course, you want to get the best workers.
你想在市场里面买西瓜，不论大小，都是一块九毛九。你是随便拿一个，还是挑个大的？
So if you go to a supermarket, you're looking for get a watermelon, always priced $1.99. You're going to get a bigger one or get a small one.
不过你有经验了以后也知道不能只挑大的，还要先拍一拍。
But if you are experienced shopper, you're not going to really just go to the big one. You have to sort of test a little bit.
你会把在生意最好的里面挑个最大的。
Yeah, you have to get like based upon the song you hear, but you knock it, then you get the most suitable one.
所以人都一样，花相同的代价，自然会挑选条件最好的。
So this is kind of a human nature. You want to pay the same price for getting something best.
条件好的工人，有兴趣的雇主也多。
If workers are really highly qualified, usually they will be interested by many.Employees
就比较有资格谈工价了。
So they will have the rights to bargain about the pay.
所以这个主人如果对他们说：“你们进我的葡萄园工作吧，所当给的我必给你们。”
So if the owner says that come to work for me, I will give as much as you ought to get.
他们很自然就会回答说：“哎，请你说清楚，所当给的到底是多少？”
So they will probably ask that, "What do you mean? How much we deserve?"
主人说：“那你们说呢？”
Then the owner typically will reply by saying, "How much do you want?"
他们回答很可能是：“这儿的规矩你应该知道吧？一天总该有一钱吧？”
So then they typically will reply by saying, "You know the rule, gentlemen. Usually my labor deserves one denarium."
你看那边那个雇主不是在喊一天一钱吗？那边也在喊一天一钱呢。
Have you heard that the other employer are bidding on the same pay, getting with one day labor?
如果你也给一天一钱，我们就跟您去。
If you gave me a one denarius a day, I work for you.
那么这个主人同意了这个工价。
So then the landowner agreed to that pay.
但是后来要雇的工人，就没有人是没有人想雇的了。
Then when the workers arrive later, they kind of have a fewer opportunity to be hired.
大概就是条件比较差。
Because they may less qualified.
瘦小的，老弱的，超重的。
Yeah, maybe they are not tall enough. They are too skinny. They can't bear a strong weight.
没有人雇劳力工会雇个白白胖胖的。
So it's hard for an employee to hire a labor worker that seem to be not suitable.
他们没有一整天的时间了，哪里还有什么条件谈工价
？So they don't have the whole day to even work. So they even do not have the month side to bargain about the pay.
所以主人说，所当给的我必给你，他们也只好接受了，也听了。
So then the owner says, "I'm going to give you what it is right for you." So then they have to take it.
那个只剩一小时的，他们还有什么可期望的
？So for those have been waiting and only get the opportunity.To work for 1 hour, what can they hope for?
今天已经差不多完了啊，有多少算多少吧。
Well, the day is almost over. Whichever I can get.
所以有没有注意那个主人对他们怎么说的？进我的园子工作吧，连那个什么所当给的必给你们都不说了。
So you notice that the owner is saying, "Go to work, nothing else."
他们也乖乖进去了。
Then they just, they accept it.
于是呢。这个葡萄园里有两类工人，一类知道自己会得到一天一钱，另一类就完全凭主人决定该得多少。
Therefore, we observe two groups of workers in this vineyard. One group of workers who know clearly how much they're going to get paid at the end of the day. The other group have no clue how much.
那么最有意思的是这个主人最后发工资的方式。
The most interesting part comes to the time when the owner.It's distribute the pay.
正常的收工应该是先开始工作的，先拿了工资回去，先走，对吧
？The typical way is people will give the salary to those people who start earlier, and then they can go home earlier.
然后后来的呢，等到他们拿完了，再拿了再走。
And then the people start work late will get the pay at last.
所以如果是这样子的做法的话，应该是皆大欢喜的。
If indeed the landowner were to do in this way, probably he's going to satisfy all of the workers.
今天就是说这个第一批工人他领到了工资，他离开的时候没什么好不满的，因为得到了他们所讲好的。
Yeah, think about that. Is the first group of workers get whatever as promised to pay, they would not have any reason to complain, so they'd be happy to go home.
也许他们还很满意。
Yeah, they will be happy about it.
因为没有什么劳资纠纷的问题。
Yeah, there's no conflict about their labor and pay.
因为这个原主人守信用，没有挑毛病扣钱啊，找什么借口啊拖欠工资。
Because the landowner did not find any excuse to cut their pay, so he's fine. He's being fair to them.
他们很可能说啊，这个不错啊，我们以后还来替他做。
Yeah, so the worker may say, "Oh, this is a good landowner. I'm going to work for him again in the future."
还记得上一次啊，有一个这个很苛刻的这个主人说你偷吃了他的葡萄，扣了你的钱。
Yeah, do you remember that last time one owner kind of said you stole their grapes and then you pay get caught?
然后说我啊，就这么打了个十分钟的盹，也要扣我的钱。
Oh, I napped for about 10 minutes and then the owner actually cut my pay as well.
哎，这个人啊，说话算数，我们以后替他做。
So then the worker get consensus. This landlord is good because he kept his promise on pay.
后面拿多少钱他们也不知道，刺激不到他们。
So they have no clue about the people who started late, how much they get, so they would not have a reason to complain.
然后呢，那些后来的工人每个得到的都是超过自己期望的。
And then the worker who start late get the pay all beyond what they hoped for.
那么应该是都很满意，都很感激。
So they should be super happy about how much they got, and they should be grateful.
所以这个原主人其实是可以做的皆大欢喜。他为什么要颠倒发工资的次序，搞得不欢而散呢？
So the landowner could have done differently to satisfy all the workers, but why did he did the way in the opposite order?
他就是故意要气气那个第一批工人吗？
Didn't he think about making the first group of workers upset?
值得吗？你还得把后面的工人的工价都提高啊。
Is that worth that, you know, you probably, you're under the pressure, have to increase the salary to everybody?
多花工资就是忘了第一批工人看了难过，这样值得吗？
So is the reason really make the first group of workers feeling sad about it?
所以这就像什么呢？像这个我如果特别要我特别对他好，主要是要让他看了心里难过。
Yeah.
这好像不是一般正常的做法。
Think about it's like the owner is in a mean spirit, he's just treating someone specially nice to make the other feel very bad.
多半就是在爱情电影里面才有这种事情，明明喜欢这个故意对那个好，就让这个看看能不能受点刺激啊。It's okay. Jealousy.
So it's about jealousy. Yeah.
这样子的一种情绪、感情、情绪的发泄呢，并不符合对原主人性情的描述。
So it doesn't seem to make sense that the landlord was trying to, was doing this for the purpose of venting out his emotion.
因为这个原主人的性情是讲理、友情、冷静。
Because we can tell that this landowner seemed to be reasonable, calm, and really keeping his promise.
他其实要给工人的信息是
，Actually, the message he was trying to send to all of the workers is like this:
先讲定工价不是他给人工作的习惯方式。
He is not his original purpose for making agreement on the pay before the worker even start the job.
他绝对不会亏负任何一个工人。
He's not going to be indebted to any worker.
而且他可以同时让所有为他做工的人呢，都经其所得的回报。
But actually, he has a way to make all the workers wondering about how much they get.
Surprised.
Surprised.
但只是呢，惊奇有愉快和不愉快的差别。
But surprise could bring into happy or unhappy feeling.
那么不和他谈交易就肯做工的所得到的是一个愉快的经期。
So、for those who have not discussed a bargain on the pay would get a happy surprise.
要和他谈交易在做工的呢，即使得到了想要的，也会有不愉快的惊喜。
So for those who had set agreement with the owner about the pay, will receive an unhappy surprise.
主耶稣呢，是在告诉门徒，也是在告诉我们呢、啊，跟随服侍他是恩典，不是交易。
Jesus Christ is trying to use this parable to tell the disciples and us, following him.It's not about a bargaining business. It's about the grace.
人凭着信心跟随主，就会有愉快的惊奇。
If we follow our Lord by faith, they will be our happy surprise.
看侍奉是交易的，会有不愉快的惊奇。
If you see the service, a ministry as our business or work, you will have unhappy surprise.
所以今天的讲题就是惊奇，惊奇。
So today's topic is really about the wonder of wonders.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise or surprise.
Yeah. Pleasant surprise, unpleasant surprise.
So pleasant or unpleasant surprise.
那么神是奇妙的神。
God is a wondrous God.
那么先知以赛亚说，人要称他的名为奇妙。
So God, the prophet Isaiah said that people call him wonder.
那么他这个也说了，要行奇妙又奇妙的事。
So he will astound his people with wonder upon wonders.
所以呢，他是让人惊奇的主。
So he is a Lord that will give surprise to people.
那么主耶稣是希望我们都能够得到愉快的惊奇。
Of course, Jesus Christ is trying to, it will help us to all get.Pleasant surprise.
那么我们侍奉的心态，如果专注在会有什么样的回报，特别是地上的回报呢？等着我们的很可能是不愉快的惊喜。
So if we are concentrate on focus on the reward, particularly the earthly reward, then the result will be very likely unpleasant surprise.
所以这个比喻的信息是，得救的人呢，被神呼召做工，其实是蒙受了更多的恩典。
So the moral of the story, the parable, is like the people who are called upon to follow Jesus should work more and hard and then view that as a grace from Lord.
所以不要和神讨价还价啊，谈交易。
So you don't have to be in a situation of thinking about bargaining with our Lord about your reward.
因为呢，神必给所当给的。
Because GodHas already promised that he's giving us whatever is right for us.
当给本来的意思是什么呢？就是义的啊，公义的义啊。
Because what is right for you or what you deserve receiving, it relates to the righteousness.
那这个义字的原来的意思是对的。
The righteousness first means right.
所以只有神给的才是对的。
Of course, only the things God gave you is righteous.
那么我们坚持自己的意思所得到的不会是对的。
If we insist on what we should get, it could not be correct.
那么得到之后的满足感呢，你会因为不愉快的惊喜呢，化为乌有啊。
Then if even you get something, you won't be satisfied with the unpleasant surprise later on.
那么主给我们对的，也只有主给的才是对的啊。
God is going to give us which is right for us, and only that is the righteous.
那么以我们要是这样子的信心来服侍的话呢，得到的就会常常是超过我们的所求所想。
If we take this attitude to follow God and participate in the ministry, we will receive the things that beyond what we expect for.
我们服侍只要顺服主的差派。不讨价还价，他谈交易的话，他必定会供应我们所需要的。
So if we just follow our Lord with a simple heart, without worrying too much how much we get, then he will be sufficient in his provisions.
那么神要我们在地上执行的任务啊，其实是啊有两个字可以形容啊，叫做 mission impossible。
Whatever that God has entrusted us to do on earth can be summarized in two words, mission impossible.
你想想看，我们自己 信主的过程呢、啊，你就知道要让人信主多困难。
If you think, if you reflect upon how you come to believing in a Lord, is then you can tell how hard it is to help others to seek Lord.
大概在七零年代的时候，不是有一个那个电视影集叫做《Mission Impossible》啊？
There's a famous movie series made in '70s. It's called Mission Impossible.
在我们中间很多人那时候还没出生哈。
Maybe some of us who are sitting here, you were not even born.
当时在台湾的翻译叫做“虎胆妙算”啊。
There's a Taiwanese translation. It just said it's a Mission Impossible.
Yeah. 那么这个他在这个剧中呢是有奉命执行任务的特种小组。
The character it talks about a character that has this duty.In a special force.
那么在关键的时刻就会有对的人和对的工具出现了，帮助他们完成任务。
And whenever it comes to a critical moment, then the right people or the right tool will be there for him.
那些对的资源会在对的时候、对的地点出现，帮助他们呢，是差派他们的高层所安排的。
Because the right resources, person, toolhas been set the place for him actually was assigned by his commander.
那么在关键的时刻总会有一个一些愉快的惊奇呢，也是那个影集的一个吸引力啊。
So the whole plot of the movie that attract the viewer is because this whole point about right time, right person, and right tool.
我觉得这个虎胆妙算翻译的挺好的。
I think this this Taiwanese translation is perfect.
那么差派任务的高层他有妙算呢，执行任务的就有虎胆啊。
Yeah. So the people who plan this has this very strategic thinking, and the people who carry it out have to be a very brave one with brave heart.
所以我们如果相信我们的耶稣有妙算呢，那我们在面对困难的任务的时候，也能有虎胆。去顺服他的差派。
So if we believe that our Lord will make the best plan for us, then we need to have this brave heart to carry it out.
就会看到一些愉快的惊奇。
So then we will have very likely pleasant surprise.
如果我们是自以为有妙算，居然还有虎胆跟主耶稣讨价还价，就会有不愉快的惊奇在等着我们。
But if we use it wrongly and thought we have the best plan and use our brave heart,to bargain with our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are very likely to get unpleasant surprise.
我刚进神学院的时候，有一位长辈啊，跟我们讲，在有一些勉励。
Yeah, when I just started my study in seminary, that I was once have this conversation with an elder.
那将来你们呢要出去找工厂的时候呢，啊，要顺服主的差派。
And he told me that in the future you're going to find a place.To pastor your sheep.
不要，
go ahead.
要不要用一个人的方法呢？去判断到底什么是神给你的啊？什么是不是神给你的
？Don't apply human way to decide who is God wants to do and who is what God is giving to you.
因为我们除非是你自己创业嘛，如果你替别人打工的话，那么你通常的话就是几个基本的希望。
So if we think about that, if you are starting a business, that's one option, or you just work for your boss.
Yeah, 那你通常就是希望能够什么，事少钱多离家近啊。
Yeah. So then if that's the latter situation, you want a higher pay, close to your living place, right? And then fewer work to do.
那如果有一个教会说我们需要你来，但是呢，现在我们能付的很有限，大概一个月只能够付你个2000块钱的话呢，你可不可以先来？然后呢，以后我们觉得是应该付你4000一个月，但是也许以后吧。
So it's like a situation a church is trying to hire a pastor, but they told you first is like, well, we wanted you give a try first, and this we can only give you now.2,000 a month, but it depends on how you'll be doing here. We may give you more in the future.
如果你是这样回答的话，
then if you answer in this way,
没关系啊，你们现在能付两千，就先听两千的道啊。等到你们能付四千，再听四千的道。
Well, it doesn't matter if you pay me 2,000, I will preaching for the 2,000 price. And when you can pay me 4,000 a month later, you will listen to a 4,000 word sermon.
如果是这样子的话呢，请你先回去，确定你有神的呼召，再来读神学院。
So, if you are in this situation, you better really examine or reflect yourself. Is that God's calling for you to go to the ministry?
感谢主呢。当时呢，就是说，在这我去神学院之前，就曾经经过一些事情呢，神就给我一些清楚的看见。
Well, praise the Lord, actually, before I made this important decision for going to full-time ministry, actually, God has done His wonderful work through other witnesses.
就在2002年4月有某一天呢，接到一个电话。
It occurred on the April of 2002, I received this phone call.
一个小教会的负责弟兄啊，说我们这边啊需要有主日讲员，你能不能够定期过来啊，一个月来个两次啊之类的。
Yeah, our elder from a very small church called me saying we are looking for Sunday speaker. Can you come to help us?
那这个弟兄呢，他讲话呢有点欲言又止，好像有点不好意思啊。我说没关系，你想说什么，你直说吧啊。
But the brothers does not seem to try to discuss the whole detail. And I remind him, well, tell me whatever you want to tell me.
他说我们这边啊，一共也只有十五个人呐、啊，而且有一些是在餐馆打工的，主日聚会呢未必能来啊，所以很多时候主日呢还不到十个人。
Yeah, then he told me that the truth, we are a very small church. We typically have a tendency of 15 people on Sunday, sometimes even fewer than that because.A lot of people are working in Chinese restaurants.
我说没问题啊，你们即使有不到十个人想听也很好啊。
So I said, doesn't matter. Even you have a tendency of fewer than 10, I can still work.
他说我们这边距离你那里很远哦。我说有多远呢、啊？他说我们在 Lancaster 哈、啊。
They say, well, we're not near, we're really nearby. We're in Lancaster.
那么大概就是差不多是170英里吧，来回啊。
It's about 170.Miles for round trip.
然后他讲说，我们的力量只能够负担你一点汽油费啊。
Then, from our financial capacity, we can only reimburse you on the gas money, the mileage.
我说那不重要了啊，我们就什么时候开始？他说五月吧。
Then I said that's okay. That's not really important. When shall I start it?
那然后挂了电话以后呢，我又发现呢，我答应的有点太快了。
When I hang up the phone.And I kind of regret a little bit. Did I rush too much into the decision?
因为家里两部车子啊，都是年事比较高的，一个二十年，一个十二年啊。
Because I think about, I only have two cars. One is 20 year old, the other is 12 years old.
那么平常当然没有问题，可是去 Lancaster 你要经过一些沙漠地带的。
Yeah, I was a little worried about going to Lancaster because you have to cross a desert area.
那五月之后啊。那天气一热，万一车子过热的话，你在那边等那个拖车的时间呢，很可能那个太阳就晒得你中暑啊。
It's getting hotter and hotter after May, so I'm concerned about, you know, the car will overheat, or even I will get a physical problem because of overheat.
那时候在想说，是不是应该要再买一部可靠一点的车子吧？
So I was thinking that probably I need to buy.Another reliable car.
可是压力很大，因为当时我在就在那一段时间呢，我做的那个 Lucent 的那个 division 要 close.
But 要
结束了。
Yeah, our family's financial situation was not good because I was working for Lucent at that time, and our division was about to close.
而且呢，暑假之后呢，女儿就要进大学了。
And then my daughter is going to start her college right after the summer.
那经济的压力不小。
And I do sense this financial burden.
那么祷告之后呢，觉得呢，既然如此的话呢，该用的就用。那我们还是要去买一部啊比较可靠的车子。
After our prayers, we made the decision that since this is God's ministry, we need to buy this car.
啊，那正在研究要买什么车子的时候呢，接到了一个电话。
As we were talking about what kind of a car we will buy, then I received another call.
那我姐姐那时候在东岸呢，啊，在 Connecticut 呢打电话给我。
Yeah, it was my sister who lives in Connecticut.
她 他说我告诉你一个好消息啊，我要送你一部车啊。
He said, I have a good news for you. I want to give you a car as a gift.
我说奇怪，我没有跟任何人讲啊。
So I was really surprised. I did not tell anybody.
对，当然我太太知道了啊，其他我们并就没有多跟任何人提。
I thought only my wife was aware of this. I didn't mention this to others.
他是一个医生，他说啊，有一个病人年纪已经大了。
Yeah.
那么呢曾经有被误诊啊，被他那、能够在进手术前拦下来了，那这个病人呢对他很感激，就后来就请他做他的医生啊。
Yeah. My sister is a doctor and he get know a patient who was misdiagnosed once and almost run into an unnecessary surgery, and my sister helped him or her, then as our thankful thought to as a thankful gift, then she's going to give her car to my sister.
那这个病人说，他后来发现呢，自己的确年纪大，不合适开车，就是说，那我想把这个车子卖掉。你有没有认识的人想买一个 used car 啊？
Yeah. So this patient actually is getting old, and he or she is not going to drive a lot. So he or she would want to sell the car.
我姐姐说，那不如你卖给我吧，我把它送到那个加州。我有些时候去看我妈妈的时候，可以开这个车。
So then his sister says, "Well, you just sell it to me because I can give it to my brother, in California."
结果他说，你如果是你的话呢，我就送你了啊。
Then my sister's patient said, "Oh, if it's you want it, I will give it for free."
然后呢，还负责用卡车把这个车子送到我家门口啊，花了大概他又花了$800的运费。
And then the patient actually spent about $800 on the delivery fee, so delivered the car from Connecticut to California.
那车子到的那一天是4月27号，2002年。
So the car arrived on April 27th, 2002.
竟然还是一部那个不到三年的 Lexus 啊。
It's a Lexus only 3 years old.
不到四年啊，三年多。
About 3 or 4 years old.
啊，好车一部啊。
Yeah, we all know that's a good car.
开起来真好，真舒服。
It's really comfortable driving.
我原来只是需要一个安全可靠的。
I was only hope for a reliable car.
神给的是安全可靠加舒适啊。
But God gave me a car. It's not only reliable; it's a very comfortable.
我第一次开的时候发现，哎，怎么已经到了哈？
嗯，so
我还觉得有点开的不过瘾，说为什么不再开？让我再开一下。
I just started. Why I have arrived already? Yeah.
所以呢，只有神给的才是对的啊。
So only the things that God gave you is the correct thing for you.
神给我们的是超过所求所想。
What God is going to give you is above and beyond what we hope for.
但是我们要顺服啊，他给我们的带领。
But we have to learn the lesson to
that.
We have to learn the lesson to obey and following him.
耶稣的比喻通常是针对某一个状况给一个人教导，给人一些教导。
When Jesus do his teaching through parable, he's really trying to send a message to some specific people in specific situation.
他常常是为了回答一个问题，或者是评论一件事情。
He often make his comments in response to our question.
那么在这个说这个比喻之前呢，其实是有一个事情，就是一个富有的少年人他舍不得财产。
Actually, what occurred before this, this story, it's about a young rich man that has hard time to give up his treasure.
所以他决定不跟随耶稣了，那么离开了。
He decided to not follow Jesus and he left, pretty sadly.
然后耶稣不是有讲过什么话吗？就是说什么骆驼穿个眼，穿过什么针的眼啊，什么比财主进神的国容易之类的话啊。
Yeah, then Jesus said something like, "It's for the rich man. It's like you go through the eye of camel. Yeah, it's if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven."
那么这个时候呢
，So not the eye of a camel is not the eye of needle. Yeah.
那么这个时候彼得呢，你发现呢，他应该有资格问一个问题是其他人不敢问的。
Then the Peter comes to ask a question. He thought he's qualified for asking.
其实是大家想问不敢问啊。
It's a question people sort of afraid of asking.
他说我们已经撇下所有都跟你了，那么将来要得什么？
Peter asked that we have forsaken all we own and what we will get in the future as reward.
其实你仔细看耶稣的回答，你会发现他的意思就是什么呢？跟从他的人都会有令他们惊奇的赏赐。
If you look at the answer Jesus gave Peter, it means you will all the people who want to follow Jesus will all be surprised about what you will get as reward.
他还加了一句话说，在后的要在前，对吧？
Then Jesus even emphasized about those who are first will be the last.
Yeah. 那么在前的要在后啊，就是那么如果自认为是配得赏赐的人，会有不愉快的惊奇。
Those who you think you deserve reward will have unpleasant surprise.
我见到过，在教会里呢也见到过一些老谋深算的哈，表面上是凡事是划算啊。
Yeah, I've encountered brothers and sisters in the church who seem to be smart in terms of haggling over every ounce.
但是呢，有些常常会有一些不愉快的惊奇呢，在暗中叫苦，又不好说出来。
But then they will encounter really unpleasant surprise. They would have hard time to share with others.
单纯服侍呢，不计较的哈，啊，总是吃亏，但是呢，会有愉快的惊奇而感恩。
Those who really not concentrate on the reward and work hard in the ministry will often have pleasant surprise.
其实我原来也是个老谋深算型的哈。
Yeah, I used to be a bean counter as well.
神界的许多奇妙的事情让我看到啊，在他面前越是老谋深算，就过得越辛苦。
Yeah, the Lord has really taught me that through many things that you don't have to be really crafty on what you will get as you do things.
我们怎么可能算得过神嘛？
Well, how come you can have better plan than God's?
所以越能够单纯不计较服侍的人越是蒙福。
So the people with a simple heart of faith to serve, they will be blessed more.
我在神学院的期间呢，那个时候图书馆要电子化。
Yeah, when I was studying in the seminary that the our library is about to start digital library.
Yeah, 那么呢，就有一些书，就是那个平常纸本的书籍呢，要把它运到台湾的一个分校的图书馆去。
Then we're going to transfer a lot of the physical copies to a campus in Taiwan.
所以呢，就有说学校有学生老师们有机会去台湾的话呢，希望能够带一些书，帮忙带一些书回去。
If teachers or students who travel to Taiwan, and we are expected to take some books with us.
但是呢，因为每次回去的人呢，自己本来就要带不少东西，所以能带的书是很有限的。
So because you have your own luggage, sometimes you cannot take.Too many more books with you.
那我的话呢，是到了台湾的话呢，我可以去中国宣教的时候路过台湾啊，再进去的话呢，行李很简单。
So for me, I typically go to China for mission trip, but I will make a stop in Taiwan, so I don't have a lot of luggage.
所以我就向学校报名说，我可以带，而且可以带两个箱子啊，就是只要不超过航空公司规定的那个重量就可以了。
So I tell the school that I can really have two suitcases for carrying the books.
哦，他们也真知道怎么利用这个机会。
Oh, so they're very good at, let me taking the responsibility.
两箱啊，都是两个大箱子，都是塞的满满的书。
So it's a two suitcase full of books.
那个重量呢，也真的就是刚好啊，不完不就差一点点可以到这个航空公司那个标准。
Yeah, the weight is just right under.The luggage weight limitation.
我把这两箱书拖到了这个机场啊，真是全身酸痛啊。
Yeah, I pull the luggage to the airport. I feel my arms are really tired.
那一天要登机的时候呢，突然有广播叫我的名字。
Yeah, then before we start boarding, my name was called.
因为我说我去了，他说，哎，你今天呢被升舱了，你坐头等舱去台北。
Yeah.Then he told me that actually we have just changed your seat to the business class.
我很惊讶。
So I was really surprised.
我说怎么会呢？因为我知道我买的票是很便宜的票， 啊，你这个常飞的人知道，在这个升舱通常是看你的机票的价钱啊，什么？因为他 overbook 嘛，啊，就把那个机票好、价钱高的往头等舱送。
I was really surprised because I bought economic price tickets.
Very economic.
yeah, the lowest economic tickets, but I was upgraded to the business class.
他说电脑帮你 upgrade 的，那不是很好吗？
Yeah, but then the front desk counter people told me actually the system upgraded you automatically.
我说那当然了，我没说我不要哈。
嗯，
对，我只是很惊讶。
Of course it's wonderful. Yeah, I don't mean I don't want to take it. I was just fully surprised.
那十几个小时是非常的舒服了。
Yeah, dozen hours fly was really comfortable.
你困的时候可以完全躺平了睡。
You can really lie yourself down and sleep.
那吃的当然也挺好的啊。
Yeah, then you have a better meal.
所以到了台北的时候，真的就是所谓的重新得力哈。
Then I really feel re-energized. After arrive Taipei,
然后在那之后呢，有三个暑假呢，我继续的替神学院做同样的事情啊，也都是每次都是两大箱的书。
Yeah, then for the next few summers, I was trying to do the same thing for our school, as every time like a two full suitcase of books.
虽然很辛苦，但是我觉得在做一件很有意义的事情。
Well, even you still feel physically tired.But I think it's a meaningful task.
想到一些学生呢，能够有这些书可以做参考啊，我就觉得这个对神的国度里面有点贡献啊，就是很值得的。
Yeah, I feel like I am making some contribution to the God's ministry by carrying books for those people studying in Taiwan.
所以呢，每次都是做同样的事情。
So I every time I just do it, and I've kept doing it for a few years.
但是唯一跟第一次不一样的就是在等飞机等到登机的时候就会在想还会不会被升舱。
Yeah. But the only difference is every time I was waiting for boarding, I was wondering about, am I gonna be upgraded this time?
结果后来三次没有一次被升舱。
But the other three summers, I was not upgraded to the business class.
所以我的建议是啊。
So my suggestion for you is that
如果你希望神能够给你什么
If you expect to get something from God
你最好把它忘掉不要去想它
You better forget about it
yeah, 你越想就越不会发生
The more you think about the less it would occur
你就是很单纯的、侍奉常常就会有愉快的惊奇发生
You just do God's work with a simple heart You will receive somethingThat is pleasant surprise to you.
主必给我们对的，也只有主给的才是对的。
God is going to give us the right thing, and only the things that God give you is the right thing for you.
所以，但愿我们都能够凭着信心和感恩的心服侍神。
So I hope that God can help us to serve Him with a grateful heart and with a faithful heart.
能够常常经历神给我们愉快的惊喜。
So we can oftentimes experience.The pleasant surprise from God.
最后的那个赏赐呢，其实是我们无法想象永恒，而且是最愉快的惊奇。
The ultimate reward is in the eternity, and that's the biggest surprise.
好，我们一起祷告。
Let's pray.
天父主耶稣，我们向你献上感谢。
Heavenly Father, we give all of the thanks to you.
你教导我们要能够单纯的侍奉。
So your teaching is reminding us to serve you with a simple heart.
我们得救是恩典，得到了恩典。
Our salvation is your grace.
我们能够侍奉是更多的恩典。
Our ministry with you is even more grace from you.
让我们真的能够单纯的能够跟随你侍奉你。
So we help us to follow you and serve you with a simple heart.
我们相信你常会让我们能够经历到那奇妙的愉快的惊奇，能够让我们更加的侍奉有力，直等到你再来的日子。
We believe that when we serve you with a simple heart, what you will reward us, will give us, will above beyond what we want, and that will be happy surprise. Then we will be re-energized to follow you better.
祷告奉靠耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.